Welcome to another episode of the Replant Bootcamp, the podcast for church renewal leaders where we listen, learn, and laugh together with boots on the ground church leaders. I'm your host, Jimbo Stewart. This podcast is sponsored by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. Getting a website that your visitors and members will love doesn't have to be hard. Learn more at churchquicksight.com. Here we are back at the boot camp, back at it again. Hope you're ready for the next episode. If you are one of our loyal listeners that noticed that we did not have an episode last week, well, Godspeed to you. We intended to have an episode and had scheduled to record it. And I got sick and was not able to accomplish that and decided the world will be okay. It'll continue to spin if the Replant Bootcamp does not continue its nonstop. I mean, I think it's a little over 5 years of a nonstop every single week streak for like 5 years. And I finally missed one. I finally did it. But this week we're back and I've got my good friend, my brother, Matt McNaughton, my brother from another mother. If you see us from a distance, you may even think we're related.
Might be the same mother.
So glad to have you back at the boot camp, Matt.
Yeah, it's good to be here. And I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, I was down bad, man. I don't know if I got some sort of weird strain of COVID or what it was, but it was enough to take me out for a few days. But now we're back at it. I'm back in the state, the beautiful natural state of Arkansas, post the Battle of the Boot win of LSU versus Arkansas, which we'll have to see Bob wear something LSU now. Here for my nephew's wedding this coming week, and also the day we're recording this is my daughter's 13th birthday. And so we've been doing some celebrations today and tonight. I now officially, all three kids are in the teenage years. And so I am the parent of a teenager household.
It happens fast, doesn't it? There's lots of jokes to say about, you know, you're getting old, but man, it happens fast.
Yeah, it really does.
But it's a good season though.
Yeah, no, it's a blast, man. Look, I wanted to bring you back on to the podcast to talk about bivocational. I had you on here before. One of the things that we mentioned is you were going to take a kind of listening to the field season on bivocational, and you're still a little bit in that. And we had a survey. I'll even link that in the show notes again. If you're listening and you're bivocational, we'd love to hear from you. But before we go into what you've learned so far in that, talk to us about kind of your hope for what it would look like to serve and encourage bivocational pastors.
Yeah, it really comes from just my own story. And I've shared that before, but coming from a posture of, man, being bivo, that's not for me. I want to be a full-time guy, but that's not the reality for most pastors and even most church staff leaders. And after the Lord just did this work in my own heart of just dealing with some pride and understanding what maybe even success looks like inside a local church, of realizing, hey, this is a very present reality, not just in our culture, but around the world and throughout church history, that being a bivocational pastor is not a mark of failure. It's actually just kind of part of it. And so working through that on my own just led me to open my eyes a little bit and listen and see that, man, there's guys that have been doing this 40, 50 plus years, and they're some of the most joyful pastors I've met, and just humble and gracious in what they've encouraged, how they encouraged me and my family. This landscape is changing where it's getting a little harder to support a full-time pastor. It's getting harder to support staff at a livable wage, means that pastor's going to have to find income somewhere else. And in order to do that, we have to change the narrative on, hey, this is something that needs to be done, but also it's something that can be done, not just with the pastor working through this on his own, but a entire church effort to support the ministry of the local church. So that's over the last year or so has been in these conversations and listening to the field is a lot of encouragement and a lot of just say, hey, we being bivocational does not mean you're a failure. It does not mean your church is unhealthy, and that's okay. men and women have been doing that for centuries all around the world. And they're going to continue to do that until the Lord returns.
Yeah, I think I heard recently that it used to, kind of the general average was it took 100 committed church members to fully staff one staff pastor. Yep. Whereas now it's probably more like 150. And then you look at that and then you look at the average size of churches in America, which is less than 100. Correct. The reality is that the large majority of pastors out there are bivocational. Yep. There's some other source of income in there. That is ministry. That is the reality of ministry for the majority of people out there. And so we don't need to pretend like it's less than or junior varsity, because it's not. And anyway, in many ways, this is the real heroes of ministry, is these yep. guys who are grinding it out and working other means, which also create other opportunities to meet people, to share the gospel, to minister to others. But let's shift for a little bit. What are some of the things that, now that you've been in the listening to the field season for a little while, you've had this survey out there, what are some things you're seeing, learning about the realities of bivocational ministry?
In the survey, we asked some questions with intentionality, mainly because we want to serve these pastors and help them thrive where they are. Because, as you just mentioned, and something I tell my kids, the math isn't mathing right now, right? You have to have so many people to support a full-time pastor, and that's not the reality. So what can we do to help? Well, how can we help your family? How can you help your ministry? How can we just serve and encourage you? And obviously, you know, I wish I can give full-time salary to every pastor out there, but that's impossible. So what we've seen in the survey is three different responses to just some growth points, how these pastors can grow. And it's not just senior pastors. You have lay elders, you have youth pastors, kids directors. And so they all kind of said basically the same three things. The first one is time management, just needing help navigating time. There's only 24 hours in a day, and there's so much to be done, and you can only pray the prayer. I just say, you know, God stopped the sun, was it in the Old Testament? I'm like, God, you've done this before. Can you do it again? It's so I can have extended work hours. Time management's a big piece of that. The second one is developing leaders to help share the work of the ministry in the local church. And then the third is just church expectations when it comes to having a bivocational pastor. A lot of job descriptions and a lot of expectations from the church are geared towards someone who's going to be full-time only, but the church cannot support financially a full-time pastor. So the pastor has to work outside with the demands of, hey, we still expect 50 hours or more within the local church. And that's impossible for the pastor to do and thrive.
Yeah. So let's dive into those one at a time. Let's talk time management. Why is time management such an important issue for bivocational pastors? And then two, what do you recommend? What can they do about that?
Yeah, if you're a bivocational pastor, your time is going to be stretched between three different areas, most likely your family, your church, and your marketplace job. Depending on the marketplace job that you have, it could be locked in 9 to 5. It could be flexible. It totally depends. Means that you have to own your calendar, or as the saying goes, or your calendar will own you. And then building in margins for the week. That way you're not working all week to provide for your family, but you're not spending any time with your family. The time management can really make or break this situation. And so looking at your calendar and figuring out a system that not only is healthy, but is known both to your family, to your church, and even depending on the marketplace job, if there's some flexibility known there as well. And so that way, you know, going into each day, this is what I'm doing. This is what I have to do. These are my priorities. This is what I need to focus on. And doing that helps you accomplish what you need to accomplish and also helps you see your priorities. And so a great resource on this one, and you're the one that recommended it to me years ago, is Redeeming Your Time by Jordan Rayner. And I just actually started reading it again. I was going to do a speed read through it. And I was like, nah, you know what? I'm going to read this one in December. I'm going to kind of slow down, slows down a little bit and do a more focused approach just to relearn some principles. But a couple years ago, after I started picking up more Bivo work on the side, and it was taking hours away from family and church life, this book, it's probably the, outside of scripture, the most life-changing book for me. And those principles in that book help me attack the day, attack my responsibilities, and to do so in such a way that I believe I'm not dropping any balls. I'm honoring the Lord. I'm not focusing on things that I don't need to be focusing on. And that's a great resource I think every bivocational pastor should read and use to their advantage.
Yeah, I think time management is one of those things that feels so controlling. Mm-hmm. If you're more of a spontaneous in the moment type thinker like myself, and like I think you are naturally yep. wired this way as well.
Yep.
Where we're both a lot more comfortable just kind of going with the flow yep. and reacting to the moment, being intuitive to the moment. It can feel like putting on somebody else's shoes. Yes. Like it just feels a little bit clunky when you first start going into building some disciplines for time management. One, I love the way that Jordan Rayner frames it as a matter of worship, as a matter of yep. integrity, of a matter of letting your yes be yes. Of he draws from the life of Jesus to show us these principles that it's not about earning God's favor or being, it's not even really about being hyper productive as much as, and I tell people this all the time, I've said on this podcast before, I've had Jordan Rayner on here, we can link to that episode, and I told him this. I said, I went into that for the purpose of productivity.
Yeah.
But my favorite benefit has been my ability to be more present
yep.
where I am, to be able to hold on to several hats that I'm wearing, but still be able to sit with my kids, sit with my wife, and just be there and not trying to also hold on to all these other things that I have to make sure that I accomplish that week or that day, and knowing, oh, I've got a system. I've got yeah. those organized. I know where those are. So now I cannot think about them. I can leave them, or sitting at a hospital bedside of a church member or something, like just being there.
Correct.
And not going, oh, I'm going to end up dropping 15 things, you know, that I was supposed to make sure would happen today because I'm doing this. And yes, this is more important. And so that's fine. But going, no, I'm not necessarily going to drop 15 things. I may not get everything done that I was going to get done today, but I know how to shift it now. I know how right. to manage it in such a way that those things get done. This is one of the biggest realities I've encountered in my own life and in the lives of so many pastors, that if we can address this one, then I think it helps a lot. And out of the three that you've listed, this one, it seems to be, is maybe the most manageable, or at least the one that you have the most control over impacting
yeah.
in your life.
Yeah, because I give this book to everybody. I just gave the book to a college student and just yeah. said, read this book. The systems, if you implement the systems, it'll free your brain to be present with the people that matter to you. And even the people that you're just encountering, where you can just, as you're just going about life. The book helped me, the phrase that I use kind of with my wife, we joke back, I am flexibly efficient.
Yeah, I think that works.
I want to schedule my calendar in such a way that allows me to be flexible, but also efficient. So one of the ways that I encourage bivocational pastors is creating the system takes a little bit of time. It's not something that you're going to be able to do overnight. It's something you need to think through and put the work in. And so you already have limited time. So how can you do this? So one of the things that I do, and I've encouraged other guys to do, I know my church. I know the needs of my church. as I'm shepherding them. And so I'm intentional about once a quarter preaching a sermon that I've already preached before, because, you know, I could preach it last year and they've all forgotten it. So saving that time and sermon writing, and I'm not just going in there cold. Like, I'll spend a little bit of time just looking over the text and maybe using some new illustrations. But saving that time in my sermon prep allows me to focus on some things that I need to focus on, like building a system out for my time management. Or like today, right before we hopped on this call, I've been able to structure my week and my timing that today I've been putting together my sermon calendar for next year and the deep study of it. So I can give to our team and they can prepare for January and February. But I was only able to do that. Like, it's stuck in my, it was normally it would be like, I need to work on that. I got to get that done. They're waiting on it. But I scheduled it out, filed it away. And I knew that, hey, because of my sermon I preached last week and my schedule this week, I can focus on that because I knew the text I preached last week. And I preached it years ago, did a paper on it in school. And so I was able to pull those different things and adapt it to our church. But that allows me to spend 4 hours in the book of Malachi today, really digging into it and writing that out. And that, doing that process of sermon prepping and or the sermon calendar saves me time in January, February, March, because I'm doing some groundwork. So all that to say, if you can really build a system that helps you in time management, it not only saves you time, but it saves your soul. I really believe that. It saves you mentally, physically, spiritually. I don't wake up feeling stressed. My to-do list tells me what I need to do and focus on. Jordan Rayner's the book works through that system. I don't do it exactly like he does it. I've adapted it to fit my life. I know you've done the same thing, but my family's better for it. My church is better for it. I know I'll get off today around 5:30. Enjoy the night with my family and won't think twice about what I have to do because I've been free to not think about it.
That's such a gift. Yeah. And so I think, you know, another book we've tossed out there several times before is 8 hours or less.
Yeah.
Sermon prep. You know, don't, if you're bivocational, do not be spending 25 hours a week preparing your sermon.
Yeah.
I do believe in the centrality and the importance of the preaching of the word
as a big
part of your ministry. And yes, man, that sermon prep time is sweet and wonderful, but it's not the only thing you've been called to.
Correct.
And if you can't give all of your hours to that, you're going to have to figure out how to do that with a little less time. And 8 hours or less gives some good principles on how to do that.
Yeah. In a Bible case, if you're working 40 hours in the marketplace and that's Monday to Friday, usually what happens is Saturday becomes sermon writing day. And so my encouragement is forget whatever seminary professor said about how much time you should spend writing your sermon.
Yeah.
Try if you can figure out a way to get it done between Monday and Friday and free up Saturday. And even if it's, I'm going to spend 1 hour a day and writing my sermon, you could faithfully exegete the text and preach God's word faithfully to God's people. You've done your job, and the Holy Spirit will, trust the Holy Spirit will use that. We'd love to spend more time on it. But I'd also like to spend time with my family, and I'm making some adjustments in that way of, hey, lunchtime, devotional thought, driving, and growing in, hey, let me see if I can get my sermon done in 5 to 6 hours this week. Not because I want to rush it, but it's not the only calling in my life.
Well, the other piece is you don't have to be the one in the pulpit every single Sunday.
Correct.
And so that connects to our next piece of leadership development. Talk to us about how you've seen leadership development as one of the biggest issues in bivocational and what you recommend they could do about that.
So the issue where we see it from Acts 6 and Ephesians 4, the calling of the deacons, because the apostles can't forsake the prayer and the preaching of God's word, and Ephesians 4, where pastor teachers are called to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So the pastor is not the sole minister at the church. He has a specific focus he's calling to. But in order to hand off ministry responsibility to others. You have to develop them. You have to equip them. And that's easier said than done. And it's a long runway. You can't just hand over a Sunday morning sermon to someone you've not spent a lot of time with. And you can't hand over leadership to someone who's not qualified, like we see in Acts 6, where they're men of good repute and full of wisdom in the spirit. And so you have to take a 2 Timothy 2:2 approach, as commit yourself to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So for a bivocational pastor who is feeling the weight of carrying all the responsibility, you can start by, hey, what are some small things that are not maybe pastoral responsibilities that I can give to someone and encourage them to serve the Lord in this capacity? Help them to see the bigness of that role. We need pinky toes and we need arms because this is the body of Christ. Help them to see the importance of it and equip them to do it. And so starting with kind of a snowball effect, I'm going to hit the smaller things. And that could be if you're in charge of, you got cleanup duty, someone can do that and start finding those different roles until you're working yourself up to, hey, I need to remove myself from student ministry because I'm also the youth pastor. So that's more intentional. So what we did at Grace Life at our church is we developed about 2 years ago, I knew in order to thrive as a bivocational pastor, I had to raise up leaders. And so we started a residency that hopefully will not only has raised up leaders in our church, but will also send out church planners and replanters and missionaries from that. And so spending the time of teaching them the importance of theology, spiritual disciplines. And now we've seen half of those guys go into a leadership role at our church. And so for the first time ever in our church, every major ministry is being led by someone other than an elder in our church. Wow. And so this past week, we had our first leadership training, and it was awesome. And seeing, like, this guy's doing life group, this couple's doing student ministry, we got kids over here, and their ministries are thriving. And so they've taken on that role as really deacons. They're doing these things so that I can focus on the preaching of God's word and praying. And our church is healthier because I'm not doing everything. And I think That's the key piece, is helping your church see our church is healthier if the whole body is doing the work of the ministry and not just the pastor and the staff people.
Yeah, I think it's such an incredible piece, because not only does it, in the long run, this is not one that's going to fix things for you quickly. Correct.
It's going to make it a little difficult.
Yeah, time management will have a quick impact on your life. The leadership development piece will actually make your life a little more complicated on the front end. Yep. But on the back end, not only does it take some of the work off of your shoulders, but it's more biblical.
Right.
And it's a healthier, more sustainable way of doing ministry that make sure your church is served not just by you,
right,
but by you equipping the saints to do the work of ministry in a biblical way. So part of that, though, is the expectation of a lot of churches is that you're the guy.
Yep.
We hired you, and so you are the guy that should visit me if I'm in the hospital. You're the guy that should call me. You're the guy that should stop by my house. You're the guy that should disciple my kids. And so there become these expectations, especially if a church has been in decline. And so they at one point had a full-time pastor, maybe even multiple staff. And now they're down to a point where they cannot financially afford that. But they maybe haven't lowered their expectations.
Yeah.
And so very briefly, kind of address that issue and what do we do about that?
Yeah, so this is the difficult part of the bivocational ministry, especially if you're in the scenario that you just mentioned. And so it's helping the church see the reality of bivocational ministry. One of the things that I try to do is be open that I'm a bivocational pastor. Like, I use that language. I just used it Sunday morning. I just preached through Acts 6. I mentioned, hey, as a bivocational pastor, meaning I work 25 hours outside of the church. For people to hear that language, they automatically, because they're seeing me public speak, they're seeing the responsibility. And so their math is like, Pastor Matt has to work 80 hours a week. And so you're helping them. You're not being ugly about it. Like, I have to work 25 hours a week because you don't give. It's, hey, this is my reality. You know, I understand what it is. And so being honest about that is important. But on the other side is when you have those expectations of a hospital visit or ministry work, it's taking someone with you along the way. That accomplishes leadership development, but it also helps the church see it's not just the pastor's responsibility. And it's biblical. Don't go by yourself. Go, you know, you're bringing someone. Because that's the care of the whole church. And this happens earlier this year where I was in Ohio and got a call that one of our senior ladies had passed away, and I could not get down right away. I know she wasn't doing well. And so I called another elder at our church, and that elder went right over there and was able to minister to them. But it didn't just happen overnight. It's because you have to do the work of saying, hey, it's the whole church works together to accomplish the work of the ministry. And so the expectation is not me doing everything. It's us making sure everything is being done for the glory of God. And that takes time. And it's breaking down probably some barriers. It's breaking down different conversations. It's helping that people see the reality of your finances, which is difficult. So when you just lay it out and say, hey, my mortgage is this month, is this much, I have these bills. And if you're showing how you're being wise in this, and then you take it to your deacons and say, this is how much I'm making. And doing it from a heart of grace and humility. If you're leading a bunch of new people to lost people to the Lord, they don't give right away. And so you have to disciple them into that. So there are declining churches who have a large cash flow, and then there's healthy churches that are cash strapped. And so just being upfront and honest from a heart that's not bitter with the leadership of your church, I think helps that conversation.
That's good, man. It's been good to have you back on the boot camp. Talk about bivocational time management, shared leadership development, and the culture of expectation within your church. There'll be a survey in the show notes that if you're bivocational, haven't already done that, we'd love to hear from you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Replant Bootcamp podcast, where listening to the field will lead you to the future. The Replant Bootcamp podcast is brought to you by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. With Church QuickSight, you'll get a beautiful, customized website with all the features you need to help your church grow. A helpful project manager to make sure everything is just how you want it. And the legendary 180 Digital hosting and support to keep things running great. 180 Digital is a team of design, development, and marketing experts who know and love the local church. So go to churchquicksite.com to learn more and get started.